What's up, Noll Nation? We are less than a week away, just a few days from getting to see Florida State play football inside Doak Campbell Stadium. The spring game, I don't know, Michael, spring showcase.
Spring showcase, maybe?
Maybe
I don't know.
Like the spring Olympics in Ole Miss's case with hot dog eating contests and you know, and tug of war. The thing is, you never really know what you're going to get from a spring game, but we're here to talk about it. We're here to preview what we're looking for as Florida State kind of wraps up their spring camp. There is one more practice after the spring game to kind of put a bow on things, clean up things from the spring game. But we're going to get into some of the main things that we're looking at. But before we jump into that, Michael, thank you for joining me. How are you, my friend?
Thanks for having me, Jesse, again. Man, looking forward to the spring, looking forward to just seeing the players back out there, you know, kind of getting that fall sense built up, getting ready to see just kind of what this team is. It's not a whole new team, but it's a lot of new faces that we're getting to learn. And so this spring showcase, practice, Olympics, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be a good opportunity for Noll Nation to be able to get a sneak peek in what we might see this fall.
I agree, because, you know, we can read reports and watch film cut-ups and things like that, but this is kind of like your first chance to really lay your eyes on this roster.
That's right.
Because like you said, there's a lot of returning pieces, but there are so many new pieces, and not just new pieces, but at critical positions. Obviously, quarterback is the first one that you would say. So I'm pretty interested to see what it looks like. I don't, you know, people are probably going to be lapping it up in Doak with like half the stadiums closed off. Personally, I probably would have moved it, but, you know, it is what it is. But it'll be nice to be back in there. You know, it's going to be really interesting, but it's going to be a fun day. The weather looks nice already. It's going to be a little hot, but you'll be able to be around the marching chiefs and you know, just the fun of being back around Doak. And, you know, it's funny. I was editing our portal episode last night, by the way, guys. Portal's already getting crazy out here. So we are
wild,
right? We're only a couple days in. And if you kind of want our thoughts on how the preview or on how the portal season might go check out the episode that we just dropped prior to this one with our portal preview. Lots of good stuff breaking down the whole roster in there. But, you know, Michael, I'm editing that episode last night, and I'm just like kind of standing in my kitchen around midnight, just listening to the Big Eight, which is Florida State's drumline on YouTube. Man, there's just something about being in Tallahassee, in Doak, back around that environment that makes it so special, whether it's a spring game or not. So if you're going to be in Tallahassee, I will mention, if you're a Battles End member, and if you're watching this show, you probably should be.
Yes, please join.
They have some weekend events for you lined up. You can get to hear Mike Norvell live at Moon in Tallahassee on Friday night. They also have a fan fest and a tailgate on Saturday. So if you're a Battles End member, make sure you check that out. Also, if you're in Tallahassee on the way to the spring game, Michael, there's no better place to stop for FSU gear than Alumni Hall FSU.
That's right.
And if you tell them the guys over at Plant the Spear sent you and use code SPEAR, you will get 10% off your order. So make sure you check those guys out at 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee. Now, I do want to say, when you talk about this spring game format, like we said, this counts as one of their practices. That's they only get 14 in the spring. So that's why you see so many just kind of oddball formation. You know, the way they formats is what I'm looking for. The way they run spring practice.
Right.
A lot of guys, you know, coaches, they don't do the traditional spring games anymore. They don't want to risk the injuries and things like that. So that's, I think, why you saw in the past where you might see them start off with some 2-point conversions, because it's still a practice. They're still trying to work this in. It's just really more a chance for them to do it in front of the fans. I would consider this more like an open practice than a spring game.
That's right.
But it's still a great opportunity, and it will be on TV. It's probably going to be somewhere way down the line, I believe, like ACC Network Extra or ESPN Plus, but it will be available to watch for those that aren't there. So, talking about the spring game, let's get into, first off, what are some of the things you want to see as a whole from this team? Because, again, we don't really know the format of how it's going to go, but some of the overall things that I'm looking for coming into this, because, you know, again, we're getting towards the end of the camp, so we've started to see some narratives form from some of the players on this roster. It's, you kind of got to talk tongue-in-cheek a little bit about this, because you really don't even know who's going to be
You're not
on the roster after this, because, I mean, you've seen, like, with Miami and some of the other teams that already had their spring game, now you're starting to see guys hit the portal. So I suspect after things wrap up, that's probably where you're going to start to see guys hit the portal for FSU. But really what I'm looking for is, first off, I want to see good energy. And that's something that Niall Lawrence-Sample talked about with us on another episode that we did, which I suggest you guys go check that out. That's a really good episode with some insights into spring and summer from a player's perspective. But you know, it's pretty much a lot of the same things you're working on. You just want to see them have that good energy about it. You want to see them flying around, you know, that competitive spirit. And maybe some leadership develop. That's something that he said was a concern of his that we hadn't really seen through the spring yet. So you kind of want to see some of those vocal leaders step up. And then really, for me, I'm just kind of looking for a little bit of crispness. Now, I'm not going to say I'm looking for them to be crisp because, again, it's spring. A lot of the newcomers to the roster have, again, they've had less than 2 weeks of practice. So you're going to have some clunkiness. But I think overall for where you're at in the spring, I'm just looking for them to be a little bit crisp. You know, don't look sloppy. Don't look out of place. Look put together. And that's kind of my overall thoughts of what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I would agree with you on all three of those levels. I want to see, man, just the passion and the burning desire that this team has to come out the spring. Everybody knows. I mean, Niles talked about this on the episode, man. Spring, especially when you have championship aspirations, can set you up for fall camp. And what, well, really, let's go back during the summer workouts that are voluntary with the coaches now. Coaches now can kind of be a part of those summer things. And so, well, how's that set you up? And then in the fall camp and all like that stuff, that all gets built in spring. And so if you want to be a championship level program, you want to compete for championships, it matters. And so, yeah, being able to see that energy, the leadership, man, who's going to step up? Who's going to be those voices that when things are getting tough, when adversity hits, it can't just be Mike Norvell. It just can't be those coaches. It's got to be some of those players there. And then as the crispest, you know, the crispness of the offense and defense, just the scheme that people know where they're supposed to go. Again, we're not entirely sure how they're going to run these practices or what we're going to be able to see as far as, you know, are they going to do 11 on 11? They're going to do 7 on 7. We know they're going to do some 2-point conversions, goal lines, things like that. But kind of how else? I know they're going to have guest coaches, so they'll probably have some plays that they'll be able to call there as well. The thing I will add to your list, because I think your three are great, Jesse, is I want to see who the dogs are.
Yeah.
You know,
you really just want to see guys getting after it.
Yes. Yes. You know? I just want to see that hunger. Like, I don't care if you are my teammate right now, when we get on that gridiron, when we get through between those lines, you are the opposition and I'm coming for you. I'm coming for your throat. Like, because you go back to what I would call the greatest tradition of college football, the dynasty, those 14 years. With Bobby Bowden, man, I mean, there was just some dogs across the board. You go to the 2013 team. My goodness, Telvin Smith, you know, all those guys. They were dogs. They were trying to kill anybody, and I don't mean that physically. I mean metaphorically. Anybody that lined up across them, they were coming after. So who are those dogs that are gonna? They're going to really stand out in the spring. That's the biggest thing I'm looking for. Because if we're going to go compete with Bama and Georgia and the likes, we're going to need some dogs.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, man. You're really just – because there's so many guys that we're excited about, but who are going to be the alpha dogs on this roster? And that's what you're really looking for, even in spring. Like, I really think spring breaks down to about three things. You're getting a chance to see the new faces.
Yep.
You know, you're getting a chance to see – like you said, who's ready to step up and be that dog? Who's getting after it? And then you're also able to kind of start figuring out who's part of the plans and who's That's not. Right. You know, this is where guys, I know that they're not going to base who's going to start on just the spring game. That's going to be a cumulative thing. But when you see these guys out on the field and you see someone that's not getting these reps or someone that's getting a lot of reps, whether, you know, as long as it's not for injury reasons, you're going to start to figure out who might be here for the season and who might not and who may be some portal candidates. You know, again, I think there's a lot that goes into this spring game that's going to be really exciting for us to see. So with that being said, we're going to start by talking about what we want to see most on offense. And for me, I think you got to go with the obvious one first. Yep. I mean, you have a new quarterback. You know, coming into last year, we felt really good about what we have with Jordan. I mean, you knew it was Jordan. Like, you had such a high floor that you knew you really didn't have anything to worry about. So this year, I think it's just going to be interesting to see DJU running this offense because we've heard a lot of good positive notes late coming out of camp where he's, you know, kind of dropped a little bit of weight. He's an athletic guy, got the cannon for an arm.
Yep.
He's going to be working with a lot of new receivers. Now, he's not a stranger to picking up a new offense, transferring from Clemson to Oregon State, now to Florida State. You want to see how quickly he picks that up. Right. And then for me, I think just out of purely a personal aspect, I want to see the deep ball. Like, I want to see that DJU to Malik Benson connection. That's really what I want to see just as a thing of beauty. But I also want to see how he handles these mid-range throws.
Yeah.
The things that not that we know that he's good at, because we know he can throw the ball deep. I just want to see what it looks like. What does he look like? How has he improved in the areas we want to see him improve so he can be that guy for Florida State? And that's one of the big things I'm looking for on offense.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think for DJU, I think going to a Mike Norvell-like offense, I feel there's going to be some similarities between what he ran at Clemson and what he sees here. Obviously, the terminology is going to be different, but I think a lot of the formations, as I went back and watched some film on him, some of the formations that we see that Florida State ran, we saw at Clemson, you can see at Clemson. So I think some of that's going to be very familiar. So I think when the practice reports we've been hearing about how he's gotten actually better and better as practice has gone along, I think that's because that familiarity is coming back. Whereas at Oregon State, he was primarily operating under center. In Mike Norvell's offense, he's primarily going to be back in the gun. So I think that brings that breeds familiarity there. Obviously, for me, the biggest thing I'm watching overall with the offense is the passing game, because I think the running game is secondary. Like that offensive line, which I know we'll get into later about position groups, the offensive line is going to be key, because if they can run the ball, it's really going to set them up for being able to get the deep throw, right? But in order to get that deep throw, they're going to have to complete that middle game passing. And we all know, Jesse, we know that this has been the biggest talking point when it comes to DJU is that middle game passing, those medium, that 5 to 15 yard passing. Can he be accurate? Can he be accurate on the run? Can he get better at it? And we're not talking about he needs to get 40% better. I mean, I think if we previously saw, I remember he was clipping at like 56 or something percent around there. Yeah. It wasn't low like that.
Right. It wasn't bad. You know, you could get by with marginal improvement. Right. You just want to see him making that progress. Correct. Because we thought coming in, you know, no disrespect to the staffs at Clemson and Oregon State, but we thought, given their previous history with quarterbacks, that Mike Norvell and Tony Tokars would be able to kind of unlock some things with DJ. And so I think that's going to be a continual process through the summer into fall, not only from a DJU improving perspective, but just getting that timing down with his receivers. So I think it's going to be a continual process, but you should start to see signs that he's leading this offense well, that he can make the throws that they're asking him. Because I think you're right, man. I think the running game is not so much secondary from a fact that you're not worried about it. I just think you're not as worried about how it's going to develop going into the season, because you feel good about a deep stable of running backs. You feel good about depth on the offensive line. But I think, and we'll go into that one in just a second, I was going to say the second thing that I want to see out of the offense on the spring, speaking of the passing game, is who emerges as that alpha dog at receiver, like you just talked about. The thing is, when we did that portal episode recently, we talked about some of the situations where Florida State could go out and get a receiver, because I truly feel like you really like this receiving core.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't love the receiving core from a perspective of you just don't have anyone that you feel like you can take to the bank now. Now, we think Malik Benson's going to be that dude. Didn't really produce a ton at Alabama. Again, not great quarterback play. Other great receivers coming from JUCO. A little bit of adjustment in the SEC. I get all that. But you just kind of want to see who's going to be that guy. Is he ready to take that number two spot? Is Portier ready to finally step into that starting role after having a breakout spring last year and already having a good spring this year? So really, that's who I'm looking for, to see if, like, do we even need to bother kicking the tires on a receiver? Are these guys ready to step up? That's something I'm looking for that goes along with DJU in the pass game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, it's like, I don't know if, I know, Jesse, you don't have kids, but there's these, like, egg thingies that you can buy at the store. And inside these egg things are, like, these really great surprises. But you just don't know what's in them, right? But you know it's going to be something good. Yeah. You just don't know what it is. And I think that's the way Mike Norvell and co. feel about this wide receiver group, is that they know they have talent. They know they have a good batch of pass catchers, receivers, strength, blocking, all that. They just don't know how it's going to show up, when it's going to show up, where it's going to show up, right? Because they've not put it in like real game situation. And that can be a worry. So yeah, if a Keon Coleman like pops in the portal, then yeah, absolutely, you go after it. But I think it's also important to see that show up in the spring game. However they run whether it's 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, however they do that, it's important to see that wide receiver group step up. And as you know, man, we've been seeing practice reports about drop passes over and over every week.
Yep.
That has to get better. We should see improvement on that.
Right, because I think when you look at the receiver position, there is literally zero question that they have athletes, that they have right. the athletic ability. They right. got speed. They got more speed than they've had since Mike Norvell's been at Florida State. And that's really exciting. I mean, you can be the greatest athlete in the world. It doesn't mean you're a good receiver. So, right. like, we just haven't seen people do it in the game. So, I think this is going to be a good opportunity to see guys step up into that position. And that's kind of what we're looking for from the receiving core. Now, to continue on the offense, the last point that I had here, because, I mean, I of course, I'm excited to see guys like Roydell Williams and Garnet Gold get his first chance. I'm excited to see Cam Davis as a freshman.
Right.
Like,
right.
there's a lot of players that I'm really excited to see in this running game, because I personally think from some of the things that I've read and heard, I think Florida State might be a little run heavier than I originally imagined this yep. season, just with having DJU, a big mobile quarterback, you know, again, the running backs and all that stuff, and some of the receiver questions that right. could very well be answered by the fall.
That's right.
But I think really the linchpin of all of this, both passing and running, is that offensive line.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, you know, you feel good because you have a lot of the guys from last year coming back, but there have been some reports in camp that they've not performed the best. Now, it is not crazy to expect the offensive line to struggle a little bit early on as they plug in some new pieces and you know, they just kind of get that group's probably still getting healthy for, yes. you know, for what we know. So you have some new pieces to work in there as well. But I'm really interested to see how this offensive line group plays out, how Richie Leonard fits in, how TJ Ferguson fits in, you know, what they're doing at backup for center, you know, what is Armella going to be a functional piece inside? Those are some of the things I'm looking at, because we've seen this offensive line get better, and yes. and we know the impact that had on this team. We also have seen them regress just a little bit. Correct. I mean, they were still very, you know, I don't want to say they were above average last year, you know, but we yeah. need them to continue to get better. And so I'm really looking to see what this offensive line does. Now, I think it is also important to remember, we also don't know how they're going to mix things. So you may have some guys that aren't a part of this with injury concerns and things like that. Obviously, we know Robert Scott's not playing in the spring. You also don't know that they're going to have their starting five functioning as a unit if they decide to like split, you know, first
Correct.
Teamers
Correct.
Or whatnot. But I think overall, you just want to see the offensive line. Who's going to stand out as maybe your top eight guys, and how do they perform against a really good defensive line?
Yeah. Now, I might be a little harsh here, and I'm going to try to say this as nicely as I possibly can. It is one thing if we lost, let's say, the top eight offensive linemen. You expect some regression then, right? Because now you're really, you know, even though you're bringing in transfers, you're showing them a new system. You're trying to get them acclimated to the whole offense. And you're also bringing up those sophomores and juniors that are catching up and everything. But the fact that we didn't lose a lot of our offensive linemen, and we brought in some pretty good transfers.
Right.
I just expect that this line shouldn't be struggling as much. Now, that's just my fandom, I guess you could say. So this is not like, oh, they're, you know, somebody's doing a terrible job coaching. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it is now, I would put it at like a very light green, light yellow flag for me, that we're at this part of the spring and we're still hearing reports that they're struggling, you know? And so I really want to see if, and I know we'll get into talking about the position, I really, really want to see this offensive line step up this year, because Mike Norvell's offense, at its best, is when they can run the ball. And yep. last year, we saw that when they could not run the ball, it made the offense one-dimensional, and the defense just pinned their ears back. They played coverage, and they tried to take away a lot of that stuff. I mean, basically, the Pitt game was won by Jordan Travis and Ja'Kai Douglas having to throw the ball that many times to win that game. Clemson couldn't run the ball against them. Yeah. You know, yeah, outside no. of... Outside of Tolfili, we almost couldn't run the ball against them. Louisville.
I mean, you're totally right. Like, they needed to rely on the run game last year. Yes. Sometimes it wasn't there. And so, Correct. Like you said, I think it is a mild concern. going into this part of the season, that's why I'm interested to see how the transfers do, yep. because I think some of the guys that returned from being a starter last year might not be a starter this year. And right. I think Florida State also might explore some options in the portal if it doesn't show them what they need
right.
to see.
But right.
I think I want to see it for myself. You know what I mean? And I will say that this is a really good defensive line that they're
it
going
is.
Against.
It is.
So, like, I mean, you know, iron sharpens iron. So that we'll see how that goes. But, you know, flipping over to the defense now, and I'm going to stay in the trenches. One of the main things that I'm looking at on defense are the non-starting defensive tackles.
Yes.
Like, yeah. we know Josh Farmer's going to be good. Now, he's out for the rest of spring, so right. you're not going to see him anyway. We pretty much have a good idea Daryl Jackson is going to be an animal up front.
Yes.
Like, we have a pretty good idea of that. We know that defensive tackle is the main position group that we right. have concern at as That's far right. as your depth and your experience. So I'm interested to see what is Grady Kelly. You've heard a lot of mixed reports on him, some That's good, right. some bad. Is Daniel Lyons ready to step up? KJ yep. Sampson, you know, that's a big dude. I think 6'3", 300 pounds. Can he yep. be that space eater for you? Dante Anderson, you know, I am kind of trying to, I really want to see the depth that we have. Now, regardless of what, if they play great or not, I still think we should go to the portal to get one, maybe even two more pieces along the defensive interior.
Yep.
But I'm really looking for what those non-starting defensive tackles bring in the spring game, because it's going to be, we're going to have to rely on those guys at some point throughout this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great pick for the defense. I think where I'm looking more so is the linebacker play. I just want to see where we are. You know, we towards the end of the year, I mean, the beginning was a little shaky. That Clemson game really kind of set it up. And then we just really started to see just week after week, steady improvement. That had a lot to do with Kalen DeLoach and Tatum Bethune. And then a little bit of the backups. Well, now, you know, we have DJ Lundy was a part of that as well. Now we just have DJ Lundy. Yeah. We got the Sean Alexander, right?
Did Murphy. I say that right?
Murphy. Murphy. Sorry, Murphy. I'm thinking of the Seattle Seahawks guy.
I wish.
We have Sean Murphy, transfer from Alabama. We have Justin Cryer. So how well are they progressing? How are they reading, reacting? Really, which is a lot of what the linebacker role is that read and react. Besides the defensive back. So how are they reading react? Because that's going to tell us, Jesse, whether or not, I mean, again, I think if a good, decent Boston College, as you like to say, white dude comes available, let's go get him. But this will really tell us if we need to go hunting or if we can just wait and find the best one for us.
No, I agree, man. I have actually my number two point here is the linebackers not named DJ Lundy, because I think we feel good about DJ. Now, I will add in that I want to see how DJ handles being the number one linebacker in the
That's
group
right.
because he's always been the number three backer. Like, he's always came in packages and things like that. Is he ready to step up as an upperclassman to lead these younger linebackers?
That's a great question.
Right. And I think, like you said, I think it's the read and react that you want to see. They might be out of place here and there. They're still young. They're still learning the scheme. You have time to clean that up. It's the natural instincts that you want to see. It's going to show you whether, okay, we can work with these guys or That's we need to go find somebody, because we do feel like this is probably your number two most needed position to attack in the portal. So to me, I am looking at the linebackers not named DJ Lundy, but I'm also interested to see how Lundy leads a younger group of linebackers that are kind of trying to fill out the position group right now, because we know you have three potential guys that you really like. We just don't know if they're ready yet. So that's something that I'm looking for as well. But also on the defensive line, one thing that it could be hard to gauge in the spring game, but I'm looking for how good are these defensive ends?
Mm.
I mean, we feel like Florida State has one of the best and deepest defensive end rooms in the country. You got Marvin Jones Jr., Sione Lohuleha, you know, the Durajaye kid. You got even Byron Turner, all these guys, Pat Payton, that we feel really good about. Again, I say it might be hard to judge because of the offensive line, and you don't know how, like, they're just going to take the dogs off the leash, because you got to you have to function in practice. But you'll know, you know what I mean? Like, if you see them having to leash the dogs a little bit
That's
because they're getting out of control, they're holding up practice. I mean, it may be concerning on the other side of things, but it's going to be exciting because I want to see how good these guys really are.
Yeah man. I think when you're looking at Pat Payton coming back for third year now, like, how improved is he? I mean, he literally steps in as the leader of that D line now. Him and Josh Farmer as the veteran returners there, you know, Does he take that next step? He's always had that length and that, you know, but does he add that speed now? Does he add that power to be able to get to the quarterback, not just swat down shots? Right, you know, right. MJJ, right? MJJ, is he going to live up to the hype? You know, we thought he would be here 2 years ago. Now he's here. Now everything we've heard so far, I mean, he's a freak of nature body-wise. We've heard great things about him in practice so far. Is he going to live up to that? Are we going to be able to see that as well, too? And then behind, who's coming behind that? Because we've been saying that that DN is not a big worry for us. It's really the DTs. But are those second string, third string? Because, you know, Florida State will rotate. Adam Fuller will rotate those guys in. So are they ready? Are they prepped? How bad is the drop off? Because last year, you remember in games, we'd see this rotation come and you could tell a difference. If that drop off is not as much, you get a little giddy because you're like, oh man, we can bring some other dogs in too.
Because I think Florida State could really be, I mean, a solid three deep rotation at defensive end. And that's accounting for probably losing a guy or two in the portal.
That's right.
So I'm with you, man. I just really want to see, like, you know that you have some Ferraris in the garage with this team.
Yes.
And a lot of those are at the defensive end position. So I'm ready to see them things hit the track for the first time. The last thing that I'm really honing in for defense here is, and of course, I mean, obviously you're going to be watching for everything, but really one of the things that I'm honing in on is who looks like they're going to step into that starter role at the safety position opposite of Shaheem Brown. We know he's pretty much penciled in. And then I had to update my list. I had to add slot corner because we feel good about Earl Little Jr. I think he is going to be the guy that ends up starting there. But now that Greedy Vance is in the portal, who's going to be that number two when they rotate? If he has to miss any time, who's going to be the next slot corner to step in? And there's a lot of good young DBs here that I'm interested to see how they look. But, man, I'm really looking to see who's ready to compete for that other starting safety spot. And I think you have some good options. I think you obviously have Conrad Hussey, who's my guy, and I'm pulling for him to start. I think he's a natural at the position. You also have Devontae Brown. I'm ready to see what that looks like because they took a lot of flack for taking him, and I think he's better than what he was at Miami. And then you also have Ashlyn Barker, you know, a guy that's 6'3", 206 pounds. He's got incredible size. He can be used in different packages if you got to bring him in the box. And so I'm really interested to see what your other starter at safety, if someone starts to emerge, and then maybe the depth that you have at that slot corner position.
Yeah, I think so. I think the safety question is going to be big because, man, I think early on you might feel that miss of having, I mean, we saw what it was like not having Akeem Dent back there when he was out injured. And so being able to figure out who that's going to be, whether that is Conrad Hussey, whether that is Ashlyn Barker, whether that is a Dante Brown, you know, my money is probably on Hussey, but man, you and I've been hearing the same stuff about Dante Brown. And so it seems like he's making an impression. So he may not start, but he's going to get a lot of run. I believe he's going to get a lot of run. But my money's probably on Conrad being the one that probably gets the nod at that. And then I do think Earl Little is probably, definitely. I feel like they have slotted him into that slot corner role. Now, who feels that that second, third string there? I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, he came as a five-star recruit, but I would not be surprised if you don't see Charles Lester getting some run a little bit there too as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a name to watch. Quindarius Jones may be a name to watch as well. Has had a really good spring. And that's the other thing. You just really want to see some of these young guys, got. I mean, you still got Kevin Knowles. We keep forgetting him as safety. But Devontae Brown as well as a guy. But man, there's just so much to watch for because, again, this is like our one chance to really get to see this roster in person before we go into the summer and then in the fall. We don't know who's coming, who's going as far as that roster attrition goes with the spring portal session. But it is going to be a good chance for us to get a look at this team and kind of how we can start to shape what we think they'll be able to do for the 2024 season. It really does make a difference when you get to see people running around in person. How big do we look? You know, sometimes really it's just, I mean, we know we have one of the best strength and conditioning staffs in the country, I remember back to a time when I think it was around 2012 when I saw the team on the field watching on TV and I was like, man, we're massive. We look like we belong again. Yeah. So I think that's really what you want to see. And that's something that we saw last year. So to close this one out, Michael, let's talk about two things here. Let's get the player that maybe you are most excited to see in the spring game. I'll tell you what, I'll start off.
Okay.
I'm going to go with offense. I'm going to go with Malik Benson. And I don't think this is a surprise. I've been on the hype train for quite a while. I just think that, like we talked about in the offensive preview, where you're looking for that alpha dog to step up. I think your most likely candidate to be that guy is Malik Benson. I think if you want someone to be that guy, it's probably Malik Benson because he's an extremely gifted athlete. And I really just want to see that DJU to Benson connection. We heard him in a practice report say it was beautiful.
Yep.
I'm ready to see it on display.
Oh, I love that pick. I love that pick. I'm going to go on the defensive side, and I'm going to go with the legacy, Marvin Jones Jr. I mean, listen, we all know that when you have a dominant DN and you have a dominant defensive line, it makes your linebacker job easy. It makes your defensive back job easy. Makes your safety job easy because now they're forcing balls, they're forcing passes, easy interceptions, PBUs, all those things. So if Marvin Jones Jr. lives up to the hype, right? Is he the next, Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, Jared Verse, right? Pat Payton.
Yep.
Can he live up to the legacy that Mike, that Adam Fuller and Odell Higgins and John Papuchis have built over the last 4 years of these dominant defensive ends that are just wrecking havoc? I mean, man, and I think he can. I'm excited to see it. I think he can. I don't think he got to show the full picture at Georgia. I think he's going to get to do it here because unlike Jermaine Johnson only had really was him. And so they could really kind of hone in. Jared Verse the first year, was insane. But then last year they kind of honed in on him, which allowed Pat Payton and Braden Fist to really get off and Farmer and all those guys. Well, now you add MJJ over there. Yes, you'd lose Verse. But man, if Pat can take some of the heat off, watch out. So yeah, I'm really excited to see him, to see if he can. I don't need him to be his dad. I just need him to be him. And to be aggressive and to be smart and to leverage all the different athletic moves that he has to affect the quarterback. If he does that, man, I think this defense can be just as dominant again.
No, I agree, dude, because here's the thing. I think that defensive end room is kind of like your wide receiver. Like you feel really good about the floor of where you're at. Like it's not a question of whether the wide receiver room is going to be good or bad.
That's right.
It's can they be good or excellent?
Yep.
And so I think with the defensive end, it's the same thing. It's not whether you can be good or bad. It's whether you're going to be good or great. Whether you're going to be, we won 9 games, we maybe made the ACC championship, or whether you're in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be a big part of it. And I think when you look at Marvin Jones Jr., I think he's that candidate that you could see to be that next Ferrari, like we talked about it, where you feel like maybe you have a car references, a bunch of Corvettes.
Yeah.
Can someone be that Ferrari? Can he be that guy? And I definitely think he can. And I think it's going to be pivotal for this defense if he is. And the funny thing about it, which you mentioned, is like when we saw Jermaine Johnson come through, then they took Jared Verse and we're like, I'm sure he'll be good, but he's not going to be Jermaine Johnson.
Right.
Well, he was. And so then it's like you get Marvin Jones Jr. And you're like, he's got the talent. He's there. But can he be Jared Verse? Well, we don't know. But don't so know. Far, I I'll mean, you know, shout out to Coach Papuchis. Like, I don't know what he's putting in their water bottles. You know, it's like the Space Jam, the magic or whatever. But
keep
whatever
putting it is, in there.
Right. Whatever it is, it's working. And so then the last thing I want to talk about here is what position group not are you most excited to see, but are you most intrigued to see? Which one do you need to see? And for me, it's linebackers. I think to me, this is hands down because I think the linebackers right now is really just kind of in a TBD for me, a very much a holding pattern, because I think on the one hand, it was the biggest concern coming into camp
for
me, like just not even from a depth standpoint, like D tackle, I'm concerned about your depth. I'm not concerned about the top.
Right.
Linebacker, I'm concerned about everyone not named DJ Lundy.
That's right.
So I thought that this is going to be one where you might be a little worried about linebacker. Then you hear a lot of positive reports come out where maybe we're not as bad off as we thought.
Yeah,
I still think you could go get some help in the portal, but I'm interested to see how it looks on the field. You know, we already talked a lot about what we're looking for from them, but I think this is one of those where you need to see it because you either feel like, okay, we got to go to the portal, or you're going to be like, you know what? I think we can roll with what we got.
Yeah. Jesse, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in college, I was like, I need to go get some food. I need to go to the store. I want to go out and hang out with my friends. So I pull up my banking app. And as I was typing in my password, I was praying that there were money in the bank. Like, oh, please let there be money in the bank. I feel like there's money in the bank. Please let there be money in the bank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a ramen night.
It's a ramen night if it's not. That's what I feel about the linebackers. I'm like, okay, please be something good. Because if not, then man, I got to go get a job. Or in the or in Randy Shannon's case, I got to go hunt in the portal.
Yep.
I'm like you. I'm not concerned as much about DJ London. I think there are areas that he can get better in, but I don't have great concern with him. I do have concern after that, you know, especially if Florida State. Now they, one of the good things about another great thing about Marvin Jones Jr. is if they ever switch to that 4-3, they can pull him back into that Will or that Sam linebacker or a hybrid linebacker where they pull him up to the line, but he's playing in coverage. Georgia's done that. He does have some of that skill set. So in some ways, you can kind of cover if you need to go to that 4-3. But if you're in that pure 4-2 and you're not leveraging him at the linebacker spot, I mean, it just gets – it. Like you said, there's just some unknowns after DJ Lundy. So, yes, I think that's a great pick. Now, where I'm most looking forward to, and I'd love your thoughts on this, again, I'm going to go back to it, is the offensive line. Yeah. I am intrigued to see, have they progressed? Have they gotten better? Can we get back to the dominant run offensive line that we had? Last year, they were great at pass pro. They were mediocre at run blocking. Can we get back to where we're good at pass pro and dominant at run blocking? Because if we're dominant at run blocking with the stable running backs we've got and the quarterback we got, man, it opens up that offense to a whole new level.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree there, because the offensive line really is the key. And when you really think back to how Florida State struggled over the years, I mean, you can tie so much of it to the offensive line struggles. Oh, yes. And, you know, we know all about that. But what it did to be able to run for 200 plus yards in 8 games in 2022, I mean, again, as good as Florida State was in 2023, the offense was probably a little bit better in 2022.
Yes, yes.
And I think if you have a situation at quarterback where you really maybe got a little question. You know what I mean? Like, we feel good about what DJ can be, but I don't know that you're guaranteed that he's going to come in and light things up.
Right.
I think having that running game would do so much for taking the pressure off of DJ.
Right.
And I think he's going to be a big part of the running game too. So, like you said, it's just you want to see them start to put it together. You want to see them start to form that top 6 to 8 guys and be able to move the ball on the ground, because it's going to be massive for this offense if they can get back to running. You know, if you have a guy that can throw the ball 60 yards, 80 yards down the field, and like you said, running the ball will open up that deep shot. It's going to really open up so many things for this offense if they can be able to run the ball. And you, like we mentioned, you love the running backs. You got five or six running backs that you feel really, really great about. Yes. So that's definitely a great point. I mean, I really think those are two position groups that we're going to be keeping our eyes on, because it's going to be a real important situation depending on which way it goes.
That's right.
You know, if it goes good at both position groups, I think you're good where you're at. If it looks like you need to take someone, you might have to go into the portal for an offensive tackle or another linebacker or something like that. But it's going to be our chance to see it in person. And so, you know, we'll see. Like we said, we don't know how the formations are going to be, how they're going to divide players up, and who's even going to be available with injury.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be interesting, man. This is going to be our first chance to really lay eyes on this program and start to build some excitement for 2024 as we go into summer and we go into fall. And of course, we might be talking about some new pieces next time we talk to you guys. But with that being said, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Everybody, you know, if you're going to the spring game, enjoy your time in Tallahassee. You know, maybe it's going to be crazy to see Doak in its current form.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that. I haven't checked the webcams in a little while to see where it's currently at. But man, it's going to be, I think that might be the most crazy thing about this whole spring event. But it's going to be a fun time. You got the guest coaches, like you said, they're honoring the 99 team. So that's going to be fun as well, man. It's going to be a good weekend in Tallahassee with football back in town, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited to see it. I wish I could have been there. I'll be traveling during that time, but I think it's going to be awesome to have the fans back in the stadium, at least for a little bit of football, to see the team be able to get out there and show what they've been working on. So if you're going, man, we'd love to see your pictures. Hey, tag us in your pictures. Tag Plant the Spear, you know, on social media. We're on Instagram and on Twitter. We'd love to see you guys interact with you as you're having a good time with your family and friends out at the spring game.
Most definitely. And comment below if you're watching on YouTube. What are you looking for in the spring game? What That's do you right. want to see from this team that would maybe get you the most excited or maybe the most nervous for 2024? But with that being said, guys, if you're in Tallahassee this weekend, of course, make sure you check out Alumni Hall for some great new FSU gear. You know, you're probably going to want to pick up a hat to block That's out right. the sun because it's going to be hot out there. It's supposed to be like 90 degrees. So, but definitely, guys, enjoy your time in Tallahassee. Enjoy getting to watch some FSU football. This is kind of our last stand before the fall. We got kind of a long, slow period there for a while, but you still got recruiting and the portal stuff to carry you through. But that's going to be it for us, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Drop a like and subscribe if you enjoy this video, and we will catch you guys on the next one. Thanks for watching, and go Noles.
Go Noles.